Now, the gospel reading is a story that we all know tremendously well. Even Mrs. Thatcher had a take on it when she was Prime Minister. She commended the Samaritan for having got on so that he was able to help. And clearly his credit was good, at least good enough for the innkeeper. But I somehow don't think Jesus was commending getting on, nor I don't think was he actually commending Thatcherism. But that's by the by. And there's a TV ad. It's on Sky. And it really, I think, seems to suggest that we could eliminate all the divisions that make the parable so pointed. It has a group of four rather loud youths and an elderly, rather staid man living on the same housing estate, as you would imagine, with totally different lifestyles. It shows the young men enjoying loud music, and you've seen it, have you, Corinne? And the man goes into his room and puts on a record, actually, you know, one of these, and puts the stylus on the record and plays music. Then there's a picture of the young men walking along the street kicking a football, and one of them was wearing his trousers, you know, as young men sometimes do, running around halfway down his legs. And it shows the older man rather pointedly pulling his trousers up with a belt and braces and going off to play snooker. And then and the whole thing is totally the four loud men and the one staid elderly man. And there's a final scene. They're shaking out the fries, sitting at different tables, and the old man and one of these young men smile at each other. And the key killer line is, "We all have McDonald's in common." All is harmony. If you go to McDonald's, you know, you smile at everybody. Well now, what about the parable? It's told, of course, in answer to two questions. One, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And two, you know, the supplementary question, which the lawyer probably wishes he hadn't asked, who is my neighbour? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbour? And Jesus tells the story. Now, the road was a steep and rocky one. And drops, you'd be fascinated to know, 3,600 feet in 20 miles. If you want it in metric, you'll have to work it out. It's a dangerous road, frequented by robbers. Most people didn't go alone. The traveller did, so you could say it was his own fault. He was mugged. Shades in our society and news today of the people, you know, the feckless victims. Actually, interestingly enough, of course, he wasn't the only one going alone, because the three people who come to him are also alone. But that's by the by. The priest, for his past, he couldn't touch a dead body. And the man's been left half dead, lying there unconscious. Priest couldn't touch a dead body. The Levite went nearer. Perhaps he actually feared decoys and decided safety first. I mean, we're urged to do that, aren't we? If you're on a lonely road in a car, on your own, and there's a body, you know, someone lying in the ditch, or someone flags you down, is it genuine, or are you going to get robbed and mugged? You're urged to stay in your car, aren't you? Lock the doors and phone for emergency services, unless you're with somebody else. I wouldn't have any problem, because I don't have a car or a mobile phone, as you know. So if I was on a lonely road, I'd be on foot, so I wouldn't have any excuse. Then, of course, comes the Samaritan. Now, the hearers of Jesus telling the story would possibly have expected an Israelite layman for a sort of anti-clerical, anti-clergy sort of story. But they get a Samaritan, who seems to have been a regular traveller, seems to have known the innkeeper. The crucial thing is that he helped. He did all he could. Put him on his donkey, you know, he went over and beyond the call of duty, you could say. He didn't just feel sorry, I expected the others felt sorry. He was the one, clearly, who loved his neighbour as himself. So let's take the story a bit further. It's made clear, isn't it, that to inherit eternal life, we need to love God and our neighbour as ourselves. And the key to this story is, who is my neighbour? You might like to read the commentary and the meditation, but the common view at the time of Jesus was that neighbour meant fellow Jews. The Pharisees tended to exclude non-Pharisees. The Essenes, a group, said, quote, a man should hate all the sons of darkness. And some rabbis said that heretics, informers and renegades should be pushed into the ditch and not pulled out. So some fairly strong, clear boundaries being drawn between neighbour and the rest who you know, you just totally ignored. In fact, actively, you know, you pushed them into a ditch. So Jesus' hearers would have been totally thrown, gobsmacked in modern English, to hear that the third man to come, the one who helped and stopped and did everything, was a Samaritan, because they were hated. It was deep-seated and long-standing hostility. The Samaritans had intermarried when they were regarded in the language of those days as half-breeds. They were at very best heretics. They only received the first five books of the Bible, rather like Muslims today. They might have been the equivalent from Christians today, as one friend of mine said, either Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, and there are other people who say the comparison would be between Christians and Muslims, people of not just heretical, but a different faith. They were hated anyway. The hatred wasn't just, you know, on one side, in a sense. It had been further fueled by the Samaritans a few years earlier, who had defiled the temple court by strewing around dead man's bones during the Passover. I mean, it was Israeli-Palestinian violence and everything else that you could think of. And Jesus had chosen this man. He'd chosen the extreme example of someone who was despised, mixed race, probably, certainly a non-Jew, certainly a very heretical Jew, probably almost another faith, to come along to demonstrate. Jesus was using him to demonstrate God's boundless love. To show no one beyond the range of his love. And we see that God's love in Jesus, in his ministry, reached out to the poor and despised, the helpless, the insignificant, the people who didn't belong. So anyone who needs me is my neighbour. And when I'm in need, the person who actually helps me is my neighbour too. Love goes beyond all rules. There are bound to be gaps in rules and creeds and things as soon as you write things down. There are 613 commandments, I'm told, not just the 10 main ones. 613. 365, thou shalt not. I read it in a commentary. I haven't counted. You can do that if you really want to. So 365, thou shalt not. And 248, thou shalt. It's fairly dreadful, isn't it, really? You know, you couldn't do a thing, probably. But Jesus tells us that humanity is really one. We're all people for whom he died out of amazing love. God so loved the world, not just the nice people, not just Christians, not just Anglo-Methodists, as it were. You know, he loved the whole world. And we're to love with an amazing love like that, that seems far too generous. So loving our neighbour won't be sort of calculating and restrained, be rather like the Samaritan, a bit foolhardy, he might have got duffed up as well, lavish and extravagant. He puts him on his donkey, stays with him all night, gives the innkeeper extra money. He wasn't aware of duty, I mean, any more, I think, than we are when we act generously towards ourselves, and we're to love our neighbours, of course, as we love ourselves. When you come down to it, it's all about Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, knowing what was awaiting him there, showing a new way to live. He was going to be enacting the fact that it shouldn't be division and confrontation with enemies and people of different faiths and different races, but boundless love and grace. So strong, and this is quoting Tom Wright here, so strong, so wide-ranging, that many will find it shocking. so strong, so wide, God's love and grace, that many will find it shocking. I mean, many did, didn't they? They found it utterly heretical, unacceptable, and killed him on a cross. Jesus saw the good, the potential in people, because we're all made in God's image. Everyone is made in God's image. And Jesus wants to draw out the good and not condemn what mars. John tells us that God sent his Son into the world not to be its judge, not to condemn the world, but to be its saviour. And I said once before that God is on our side, not on our case. That's what Steve Chalk, a good evangelical Baptist, wrote in a book, and he got hauled over the coals for it. How dare you say that God is on our side, more or less? Because he went on to say that the concentration on Augustine and his doctrine of original sin actually detracts from what God's love is like. And he said how much more real seems to be the doctrine that Irenaeus put forward of original goodness. Because God created us. Goodness that we've marred, but original goodness. Well, are you shocked at this? And am I shocked? Do we gladly embrace God's inclusiveness? Or do we put limits on his love and grace? It's important, because who in the parable inherits eternal life? We did it in messy church, and we booed and we cheered, you see. When the priest came along, we cheered. And when he didn't do anything, we booed. When the Levite came along, we cheered, because he was another goodie, a priest, vicar, Jew, you know, religious person, we cheered. When he didn't do anything, we booed. When the Samaritan came along, we booed, because he was outside our thinking and God's love. But, of course, when he helped, we cheered. So, who gets eternal life? The Orthodox believers, the mainline believers, like us, but they failed in their duty of love. Or the other faith person, whether you think is a bit like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or indeed a Muslim, people whose faith, they wouldn't say our creed because they don't believe it. You know, but the one who is the neighbour. I don't have an answer to that, really, except the parable suggests very strongly that it's the one who was neighbour, doesn't it? You can't get away from it that Jesus is telling him, who is my neighbour? The one who helped him, the actual lawyer, couldn't bring himself to say the word Samaritan, could he? He says, the one who showed him mercy. That's the key thing. But we have sung there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. So could it be that in the mercy of God all three inherit eternal life? The Orthodox believers who make a pig's ear of loving their neighbour and the person of a different faith who does love his neighbour. That's quite shocking to think of that. And quite wonderful. It might mean that heaven will be fuller than some of us think it might be or ought to be. It is full of wonder, this, you know. And what good news for everyone it can be.